All righty, welcome back, everybody. Our guest in the studio now is Les Andrews. Les, welcome to the show. He is running for counselor in Ward 2. Am I correct on that?
No, here it's Ward 1.
It is Ward 1. Okay, I thought it was Ward 2. I don't know why. Anyway, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very glad to have you here. Lots of very interesting people running for council, including yourself. You're running for re-election. How was your first term?
My first term was very enjoyable. We seemed to get a lot of things done that we had set out to do. You know, we wanted to pull the finances back into the proper perspective, which we did. We solved the administrative problem. Maybe not to everybody's liking, but it works just fine now.
Mm-hmm.
We did some small things like the river, the pathways. We got the Barrett Street Bridge built. We got Jack Berger and the police station built and put in under budget. So things came along fairly well.
Well, now the Port Hope Area Initiative, which is something that every council's been talking about for more than a decade, probably 25 years at least, it's now happening under your watch. How's that started off?
It started off fine. It's moving. They're starting to haul dirt. We had a little bit of a setback with the west wall on the harbor coming in, but, you know, we were at a stage where we had cleared the fish out anyways. We'd put the screening in place. So a little more dirt going into the harbor probably is not going to harm us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to add, we've got to do it, so we'll fix it.
Is there anything that you didn't get done in your first term that you're kind of hoping for in the second round if you get reelected?
Well, the topics that have come up that weren't visible in the first 4 years were affordable housing has really risen to the top.
Yeah.
Long-term health care, of course. You've just been talking to Tony Jenkins about that. Growth, you know, we started to grow in about 2013.
Mm-hmm.
The business park now is fully occupied, or will be fully occupied. Penryn, we discussed when they get to phase 8, there will be 1,600 homes there. So the community is growing. We're being approached virtually daily by industries and commercial ventures to come into town. Mm-hmm. So if anything, we need more business land to develop.
Well, you mentioned affordable housing right off the top there. And that is something I know the mayor has been talking about, initiatives moving forward. We know that a lot of people, you know, it's a county issue. But really, as every municipal councillor candidate that we've spoken to, everyone's realizing that the time for discussion is pretty much over. We really need to move now. Is there anything specific you'd like to see happen right away in order to get people some affordable housing, some accommodation?
Sure. Right away we could start designating a density of land. For instance, there's a site on 65 on Ward Street, just up from the hospital, that is about, let's say, 60 feet wide by about 200 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
If we would zone it that we could have the houses facing east-west as opposed to north-south, we could probably get 2 or 3 townhouses on that site. So that would reduce the per unit cost of the land element.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a site on Toronto Road that is 157 feet wide. If we split it up into 3 chunks, we could get 3 duplexes on it, and that would accommodate 6 families. So, yes, there are immediate things we can do.
One of the things that's often been said is that affordable housing is a county responsibility. And the way you're talking about it, as a lower tier municipal issue. And you've talked about some parcels of land. What about, though, things like homelessness, and that sort of transitional housing that's so vital to people who are at the very lowest end of the scale?
Okay, well, I sat on a alternate housing committee with the people from Habitat, with Louise Bletcher, who is one of our counselors, and with David from Greenwood Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been going on for a couple years that this committee has met. And we've looked at things like container homes and tiny homes,
right,
and granny suites and adding facilities on to houses that are are being occupied by one person where we could start sharing. So all those things are possible. We just have to have the will to start pushing this through. And I did talk to the county. The county gave us a presentation at our council meeting on Tuesday. And after the lady made her presentation, I really took a hard run at her and expressed how disappointed I was that the county has not been doing their job. They're supposed to be the middleman between us and the provincial and federal government, and frankly, they haven't done a very good job about it. And, you know, they've sure had a lot of studies and consultants and meetings, and I'm saying, give us that money and we'll go buy a house and we'll start the process off that way.
Is that something you think municipalities should start doing? Something I've suggested to the councillors and the candidates is that, you know, you take properties that have been sold under auction for non-payment of property taxes, for instance, or other properties that have been left derelict. I mean, like this hospital site could have easily, before Southbridge came along, could easily have been converted into some type of affordable housing. I mean, those are the kinds of initiatives that I think would jumpstart this process. I mean, you've been on the council and the committee, so.
Well, you know, we've got St. Mary's School, we've got Central School. Those are sites that we could easily adapt if we had the will to what you're talking about. I wouldn't put up the 65 Ward Street site because I've got a developer that wants to spend $30 million as
sure.
it is.
Yeah.
So as a good business person, I'd say, no, okay, let's go forward with that. There's other sites in town that we could potentially use for that. But should the municipality be in the house business? Ideally not. But look what happened after World War II. There was a housing crunch needed, and all these wartime houses were built
yep.
by somebody.
Yeah,
and so we've seen our way through that process. People eventually owned these houses, and the government got out of the housing business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as I say, we can do anything if we have the will. We not only have the will, we have the money. You know, and I'm going to talk to the urban area of Port Hope in that we have $10 million from the low-level radiation cleanup. Can't touch the principal, but we can handle the interest, which is about $300,000 a year. And we could borrow $10 million and use the interest we're accumulating from our investments to pay off that loan
mm-hmm.
and put that $10 million into land, housing, building, whatever.
Is it a concern, though, that I don't know if you think that the community or the municipality should be in the housing businesses. Is that something you don't think they should be doing? Or?
Well, I think they should be. I think for lack of anything else going on through the county or the province or the feds, let's do it. Let's come on, Port Hope, let's do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you've most proud of and one of your accomplishments that you mentioned in your literature is your work around municipal tax and getting the tax rates down. Going forward, how do you see things financially as you look towards the next council? I mean, what sort of initiatives would you like to bring to the table going forward?
Well, what I'd like to do is now do some future forecasting. I mean, we were playing catch-up for the last 4 years with our financial picture. Now we're in the situation where, you know, our community is growing, so let's anticipate what type of revenues we're going to be bringing in the future. And let's gear our budgets not to spending exactly to our revenue picture, but to spending to 80 or 90% of that figure and setting aside monies so that we could stabilize taxes in the future. So instead of having this, like last year, I think we had a 2% tax increase. So maybe we could have stabilized and used some money to pull in a 1.5% tax increase. There's probably always going to be tax increase just by the virtue of, you know, cost of living and
inflation,
things like that going
right?
up. Yeah. So every year is going to be a year where you probably have increased costs or you have to give up services.
So just so that I'm clear, what you're saying here is, are you talking about reserve accounts? Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about?
Yes.
Putting aside? So how do you do that when the margins are so small and the people are feeling the strain now rather than...
Okay, well, let's say that in 2019 we come out with a theoretical number, let's say a 2% tax increase. Our job then as a council would be to budget so that we wouldn't use up all that 2%.
Okay. And what happens, though, if you get an unexpected expenditure or, you know, look at, you're going to look at service cuts, or how do
well,
you?
Well, we do have some reserves right now. We've been putting reserves away. We got a bit of a bonus when the minimum wage didn't increase again in 2019. Mm-hmm. That's a 1% theoretical tax saving right there. Mm-hmm. It's about $180,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have some reserves, and of course we do have borrowing capacity.
So what about then plans like you've mentioned about, you say your industrial park's almost full, you'd like to see maybe some growth in that area. How would you finance larger projects like that than under the current plan that you'd have?
Okay, well, again, because we have that luxury of having that $300,000 of interest coming in every year, we can borrow. And we could borrow to buy more land around that business park and then turn it over to a developer, because we don't want to be in the development business. Turn it over to the developer and get payback from that. Remember, the responsibility of the municipality is to bring tax money in. That's their job, okay? And that's not necessarily saying by increasing taxes, but by adding new businesses to the town, new residents to the town, and that's how we garner more tax in and collect the taxes that are already there. That was a big problem
services.
Before.
So obviously, that's to provide services,
and then
residents.
We provide services on that behalf.
So if I could, because you said that you don't really think the town should be in the development business or in the landlord business. If you look at Coburg, for instance, with the Northern Development and what we've seen there, I mean, Coburg seems to be doing pretty good.
They did damn good out of that one.
Well, I'm just saying, right? So, I mean, then they're using that revenue to finance other projects down the road. So, I mean, it sounds to me like it's not such a bad idea to get into that aspect of municipal governance where, you know, you've got this piece of property and you're using it now to generate revenue because, you know, you said the town's goal is to generate taxes, but obviously generating revenue. I mean, Coburg kept its hydro facility as well. So we've got Lucy, we've got Lakefront Utilities through that, Northern Industrial. I mean, Coburg has a pretty good base when it comes to other sources of revenue. But I'm not hearing that Coburg or Port Hope does.
Well, we could do that very easily. We just bought Laidlaw Place or Lakelet Place.
Yeah.
Okay. So eventually that building will come down. So what I would propose is the town own the land, keep the land. And bring a developer in to build a building, okay? And so we would get the tax benefit from the developer building a building and putting tenants in that building. And the developer would be encouraged to do that because he probably wouldn't have to pay us as much for the land. He doesn't have to buy the land. He could rent it off us.
And therefore not pay property taxes
and not pay
as well.
Property taxes, yeah. So there's ways to do it.
I'd like to talk a bit about the governance structure because that was something when you first got in, but I guess we're going to go for a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk a bit about that.
We'll talk about that for sure. We'll be right back after this break. Our guest is Les Andrews. He is running for Port Hope Council, Ward 1. I'm Dave Glover. Rob Washburn and I will be right back.
It's politics with passion and more. It's The Drive Time with Dave Glover on Northumberland 89.7.
Every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m., Northumberland 89.7 invites you to play Radio Bingo. You can play it in the comfort of your own home. $800 in prizes are given out each week. Bingo sheets are available in Coburg at Pat and Rob's Deli, 32 King Street West, Convenience K, 396 William Street, and Northumberland 89.7, 1000 Elgin Street West. Don't miss Radio Bingo. Every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m., an exciting opportunity to win prizes while helping raise funds for Northumberland 89.7, your truly local radio run by truly local volunteers.
Lottery license numbers M740399 and M740400.
Brushes with Fame, Photo Tripping with Music Legends is a new book by Port Hope resident John Causeway. You'll enjoy a treasure trove of over 190 black and white photos snapped from 1959 to 1970. Featuring mostly unpublished pictures of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Johnny Cash, Janis Joplin, Stevie Wonder, Buddy Rich, Gordon Lightfoot, Ronnie Hawkins, and many more. The book also contains stories of John's encounters with his rock and country folk jazz subjects. The book will be available soon. Keep listening to Northumberland 89.7 for more details.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own Spark Toys in downtown Coburg,
the coolest little toy shop in town.
We've been open for 5 years now.
And are pleased to offer you a great selection of quality toys.
Books, puzzles, games, art supplies, puppets.
Our clients love that shopping at Spark is fun.
And easy.
Our amazing staff offer personal shopping.
With gifts that are wrapped and ready to go.
Making you look like a rock star at every event. Spark, smart toys for cool kids. 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
What a perfect time of year to take a fall drive to Rhino's Roadhouse in beautiful downtown Butte. It's still patio weather. Just put on a sweater and enjoy the spectacular view of scenic Rice Lake. During October, start your morning off with a Rhino's Early Bird Breakfast Special, only $3.99 every Monday to Friday. And don't miss their famous wings with fries and a pint for only $13 every Thursday. For reservations, call Rhino's or check out their website at rhinosroadhouse.com. Rhino's Roadhouse, located at 5078 Rice Lake Drive in downtown Butte. A great place to meet your friends and make some new ones, too.
Northumberland Hills Hospital is the proud home of one of the most active auxiliaries in the province, but more volunteers are urgently needed. At NHH, volunteers assist in providing a large variety of services to 14 different departments. Shifts are 2 to 4 hours long, and volunteers sign up for a minimum of 2 per month. Why not consider becoming a volunteer? Simply download an application from the hospital website or pick one up at the hospital inquiry desk or from Petticoat Lane. Volunteering at NHH will enrich your life. Please sign up today.
Attention Coburg voters. Do you find Coburg too expensive, that your voice isn't heard, or believe Coburg could be better managed? Carl hears you. On October 22nd, please vote Carl Vom Dorf for Coburg Council. A vote for Carl is a vote for change, for accountability, for common sense, for protest. Don't quarrel, vote Carl. Please visit votecarl.ca. That's Carl with a K. For more info, votecarl.ca. Paid for by Carl Vom Dorf's campaign.
Hi, this is Lynn with What's Happening This Week. Friday and Saturday at the Northumberland Mall, the Horizons of Friendship Silent Auction. Bidding closes at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Saturday, the Coburg Lions 4th Annual Poker Run and Car Rally. Sign up at the Oddfellows Hall from 9:30 till 2:45, 905-269-8505 for info. Saturday at the Castleton United Church, a roast pork dinner fundraiser from 5 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. Coburg Community Center, the Comic-Com from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. A bottle drive at the Butley Arena supporting the Butley Skating Club from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. And an autumn craft fair at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church with over 30 vendors from 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. Free admission. Saturday night from 7:30 till 9:30 p.m., Port Hope United Church, Lunasa, the new gods of Irish music. Sponsors, Mill at Piper Creek. If you have an event coming up, you can contact us at info@northumberland897.ca. This is Lane with What's Happening This Week.
We talk about local events and the people behind them. If you want greater exposure for an event, find out more by emailing info@northumberland897.ca.
All righty, welcome back, everybody. Our guest in the studio is Les Andrew. He's running for Port Hope Council in Ward 1. Les is a former owner-operator of 3 area McDonald's franchises, including Port Hope, prior to settling in Northumberland County. Les had a 20-year career in sales and marketing in the computer industry, but obviously being a town councillor has worked out well for you as well.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
Rob, you had a question just before the break.
Yeah, I did, and I'll keep it quick because we're running out of time. You were part of a council that took a bold step to remove the position of CAO and go with a very different administrative model. Have you had any second thoughts in going forward? Are you going to keep it or change it?
I would love just to keep it as it is. It seems to be working very well. The 5 directors, soon to be 6 directors, all meet on a weekly basis. None of them can have everything they want, because now they have to learn how to share amongst themselves. So Fire and Protection Services may pop up 1 year with a bigger budget than accounting, but that equalizes out the next year. And so everybody plays in the same sandbox together. We don't have one individual that is pushing an agenda or has a favorite that he wants to proceed with. So it seems to be working quite well.
Has it meant a lot more time on your behalf when it comes to working on council?
I don't know if it was a direct result of that, but I think we just are busier with our portfolios now than probably ever before.
Well, I'm a Port Hope resident and I haven't voted yet. Why am I voting for you, Les?
Well, I guess I'm not a politician. I'm a business person. Everything I do sort of is very direct. You know, if you want a straight answer, ask me. You may not be happy with the answer, but what you see is what you get. And, I've been fairly successful with that philosophy throughout my life. So I think Port Hope is benefiting from it also.
Well, there you go, listener. Our guest has been Les Andrews. For more information on him, you can always call him here on his telephone number, 905-373-5328. Give him a call. He's always willing to answer your questions and take your calls. You can also get him via email as well. You can email him directly. What's your email, Les?
kran123@msn.com.
There you are, kran123@msn.com. Thanks to Les Andrews, and also thanks to Anthony for being here as well. And thanks to the listeners for tuning in. I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. This has been Consider This.